Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Tri-County Journal, dated Wednesday, July 8, 2020. We'll start with this article on page 1. Horizon Health awards $6,000 in scholarships to local medical students. Horizon Health has awarded $6,000 in scholarships to local students to further their education in the medical field. Scholarship winners for the 2020-2021 school year are as follows. PCH Volunteers Scholarships, available to high school graduating seniors and Horizon Health employees. $1,000 scholarship, Patricia Trammell, graduating senior at Paris High School. She will study nursing at Indiana University. $1,000 scholarship, Lacey Stultz, clinic director at Horizon Health. She will pursue a master's degree in both nursing and business administration at Indiana Wesleyan University. PCH Volunteers Pat Spillman Memorial Scholarships, available to high school graduating seniors and Horizon Health employees to further their education in nursing. $500 scholarship, Kelsey Crampton, graduating senior at Paris High School. She will study nursing at Ivy Tech Community College. $500 scholarship, Caleb Lawson, graduating senior at Paris High School. He will study nursing at Indiana State University. Doc Acklin Healthcare Scholarships, available to graduating seniors from Paris Cooperative High School who embody the character traits of the late Dr. James Acklin: scholastic ability, participation in athletics, and character. $100 scholarship, Caleb Lawson will study nursing at Indiana State University, Bloomington. $1,000 scholarship, Mallory Pine will study epidemiology with a plan of becoming a physician at Indiana University. Nursing Foundation Scholarships, available to applicants who are currently enrolled in or have been accepted into a nursing program. These scholarships are provided by Horizon Health's Department of Nursing. $1,000 scholarship, Marcades Cassidy of Paris, who is attending Lakeland College. EIU reinforces accessibility with focused shift to test optional admission. Eligible students can apply to EIU for free beginning July 1st. Eastern Illinois University is strengthening its commitment to accessibility. EIU leaders have announced that the university will shift to test optional undergraduate admission for students interested in enrolling at the Charleston, Illinois-based university in fall of 2021 to further support student accessibility, opportunity, and access. In addition, merit scholarships will be made available specifically for EIU's eligible test optional admits, as well as those who include their test scores under the university's new policy. EIU's test optional application opens July 1st, and prospective students can apply for free. The announcement follows some national uncertainty about the availability of ACT-SAT testing as the world's response to COVID-19 continues to evolve. When college assessment tests do resume, America's educational leaders have questioned students' capacity to perform well on them following such an unrivaled disruption in their junior year of high school. "Our students are so much more than an SAT or ACT score," said David Glassman, president of EIU. EIU uses a variety of eligibility metrics that will continue to elevate the academic quality of our incoming students, independent of those conventional assessments. Josh Norman, associate vice president for enrollment management at EIU, also cited a variety of additional reasons for the shift. "We don't want any of EIU's future applicants to feel hamstrung by circumstances far outside their control," Norman said. "Research shows that the costs and inaccessibility of test preparation resources and courses often inhibit minority and low-income students. Providing equity and access to the superior education offered at EIU is part of our mission and a substantive part of this shift in our admissions processes. By shifting to a test optional model," he said, "EIU is working to further eliminate unnecessary and biased barriers to higher education in support of traditionally marginalized student groups." Research also shows that academic success at the college level depends on a range of factors, with the greatest importance placed on academic preparation. Similar research suggests that high school GPA is often the best predictor of academic success in college. Students who choose to apply to EIU as test optional admit and have a 3.3 GPA on a 4.0 scale and who demonstrate successful completion of a college preparatory curriculum will be recommended for admission. Those whose GPAs are between 2.5 and 3.3 will have their applications reviewed by EIU representatives to determine eligibility for admission. Norman added that the change to Eastern's admission policy is reflective of the university's desire to reduce anxiety for future EIU students and their families and prospective students unable to complete standardized tests in the weeks to come. We know that some groups have been more adversely affected by the pandemic and its educational repercussions, Norman said. EIU wants to be a proactive partner in creating additional opportunities for students who want to follow their personal and professional passions by earning a four-year degree. The shift to test optional at EIU follows a national trend. Other universities in Illinois and across the nation have implemented the test optional admission model as well. Students interested in attending Eastern Illinois University can learn more about EIU, including its test optional policy and related scholarship opportunities, or schedule a virtual campus visit and apply for fall 2021 admission at https://www.eiu.edu/admissions. EIU will begin accepting fall 2021 applications July 1st, and all prospective students can apply to EIU for free until October 15th. For more general information about EIU, or to learn more about its growing assortment of programs and services, visit the university's website at www.eiu.edu or call EIU's Public Information Office at 217-581-7400. Eastern Illinois University plans on-campus education for fall 2020. Eastern Illinois University has been hard at work planning for on-campus educational activities to resume this fall, relying on guidelines issued by the CDC, the Governor's Office, the Illinois Department of Public Health, and the Illinois Board of Higher Education. That decision assumes Illinois will remain in Phase 4 of the state's Restore Illinois plan, allowing universities to offer face-to-face learning, provided they follow best practice safety and health strategies issued by those entities. Above all, our goal is to unite EIU's reputation for academic excellence with its role as a thoughtful, responsible organization committed to public health and safety. As such, a variety of internal teams have been working diligently to create a science-based approach to providing our students with the most comprehensive EIU experience possible, while taking necessary steps in protecting the safety and health of our campus community. Until holistic prevention and treatment methods are in place, including a vaccine, our collective risk as a university and as a global society remains heightened. That's why, as we enter into the fall, everyone, students, faculty, staff, and guests, will be responsible for complying with EIU's health and safety measures. Below is a summary of those measures. General safety. Students and employees will receive training on COVID-related safety measures. Appropriately worn face and mouth coverings will be mandatory across campus and in classrooms. Exceptions exist and include residence hall rooms, some employee offices, outside on the campus grounds in the evening and weekends, in which social distancing of 6 feet or more can be maintained, and others. Details are forthcoming. The university will provide one cloth mask to all students. Students should consider bringing additional cloth masks to reduce the need for daily washing of their university-issued mask. Hand sanitizer and wipes will be available in common and high-traffic areas. High-touch surfaces, such as door handles, will be cleaned, disinfected regularly. Traditional flu shots will be strongly encouraged for all students and employees. instruction. A mix of in-person and remote instruction will provide physical distancing to inhibit virus spread. Courses and classroom schedules will be adjusted to create physical distancing and safer traffic flow. Accommodations will be made where possible for vulnerable and at-risk groups and for students unable to be on campus due to travel restrictions or other considerations. Hand sanitizer and wipes will be available in active classrooms via sanitation stations, and active classrooms will be cleaned and disinfected daily. Appropriately worn face and mouth coverings will be mandatory in all classrooms. Academic research will continue following appropriate safety and health guidelines. University housing and dining. EIU will offer all students living in residence halls single-room occupancy. Students living in residence halls will be required to wear appropriate face and mouth coverings at all times, except when they are alone in their room. Outside visitors will not be allowed in residence halls. Quarantine areas will be created to accommodate students who test positive for COVID-19 or display symptoms who are not able to return home at that time. Dining centers will provide meals for carryout with limited in-person dining and physical distancing. Common areas will be cleaned and disinfected regularly, and hand sanitizer will be available. Use of these common areas will follow state guidelines, and physical distancing will be observed. Campus life. The size of gatherings will be based on standards under the state reopening guidelines enforced this fall and beyond. Use of auxiliary facilities like the rec center will be limited to preserve personal safety. Employees. Most faculty and staff will continue a phased-in return to work that began in June and will be completed by mid-July. Vulnerable employees and those with family-related considerations may be eligible for work-from-home consideration. Work areas will be cleaned and disinfected regularly, and hand sanitizer will be provided. Appropriately worn face and mouth coverings will be mandatory in publicly shared spaces. All employees will be told to stay home if they are not feeling well and will be sent home if they begin to exhibit symptoms. Testing and notification. COVID-19 testing will be available on campus for all employees and students on specified dates in August. Although the testing is voluntary, it is highly encouraged that the entire university community be tested. Details are forthcoming. In coordination with its partner organizations and local public health entities, EIU and EIU's health and counseling services will assist in monitoring, tracking, and tracing positive cases identified on campus as needed to notify individuals at risk for infection and mitigate spread. Local public health departments will be provided test results based on required local, state, and federal regulations. Part of our successful response is to remain flexible in our approach as information emerges or changes, and to respond accordingly. External authorities may force further modifications that could alter current plans. Further, our employees and our students must understand their collective obligation to keeping our Eastern and Charleston communities safe and return ready to comply with EIU's COVID-19 prevention guidelines. Very soon, EIU will release a formal campus guidebook outlining our plans for a successful return to campus this fall. Please continue to check the EIU website and your Panther Mail accounts for the latest information. We're preparing for a great year. Obituaries. Shirley Ann Reed, 86, of Tuscola, passed away on Wednesday, June 24th, at the Carle Foundation Hospital. Celebration of life services were held on Wednesday, July 1st. Memorials are suggested to the Tunnels to Towers, 2361 Highland Boulevard, Staten Island, New York, 10306, or Gary Sinise Foundation, P.O. Box 368, Woodland Hills, California, 91365. Barbara J. Gibson, 84, of Arcola, passed away on Friday, June 19th, at the Odd Fellow Rebecca Home in Mattoon. Funeral services were held on Tuesday, June 23rd. memorials may be made to the Arcola United Methodist Church or the Alzheimer's Association. Memories and Musings by Sherry Sims. Sherry lives, writes, and gardens in Charleston. While shopping the other day, I had to giggle at a conversation I overheard. A couple guys were discussing all the heat and humidity we are currently experiencing, and one man stated that he loved summer except for cutting the grass and the heat. His friend agreed but added that he really liked winter except for the cold. I must admit that I pondered over this conversation for quite some time, and every time I thought about it, I laughed. It has to be the funniest thing I have heard in a long time. What is not funny is some of the situations I have encountered as a single lady in my 70s. If I were younger and had more energy, I just might think about starting a club for widows and widowers to help through the trials and tribulations of becoming single at this stage of life. One situation in particular has me quite steamed, and I would like to share it with you for your future reference. If you do not have charge cards in your name, spend some time and get them now. Hubby has always been the primary card holder for our entire married life, and I am an authorized user. One would think that would be enough to satisfy credit card companies, but it is not. Case in point, last year, I spent days reporting the change in our circumstances and took care of all our cards, getting everything in my name. Unfortunately, due to the fact that an untrained employee at one local company handled one of my charge cards, instead of changing me to the primary card holder, they simply sent me a new card with my name on it. I've used this card many times this past year and made my payments regularly. The other day, while making a large purchase of building materials for the new house, I was told that my card was fraudulent and my account had been closed. To say that I was stunned beyond belief is an understatement. I produced my driver's license to prove that I am who I say I am, and the clerk related this information to his credit department. The response he received was, "Oh, it is because her husband is the primary card holder and he died and she did not report it." I did report it to them and followed all of their requirements by sending in the necessary documentation, and I received a new card from them with my name on it. After 4 phone calls trying to get the correct credit department of the company, I was told they had no record of my transactions with them from last September, but it was noted in their records that I had called, and the result of the call was to send me a new card. That is the short version of a 2-day stint of talking to these credit department people. The employee who took care of my situation failed miserably at their job, and I have to pay the consequences of humiliation and, quite frankly, I believe discrimination. I have no idea what the long-range result of this debacle will be, but I fully intend to make sure this does not mess up our good credit rating. I urge you, if you are not the primary cardholder on your charge accounts, to take matters into your own hands and fix the situation before it rears its ugly head when you are in an emotional situation and less able to deal with it. On the fun side, I have just eaten the first yellow cherry tomatoes and I am thrilled. I planted 2 tomato plants each in a huge pot filled with Miracle-Gro potting soil, and they're doing better than any others we have planted. I've also picked enough to make one of my favorite tomato recipes, and I will share it with you. Stay cool. Colorful cherry tomatoes. 1 tablespoon of butter, 15 mLs. 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil, 15 mLs. 8 ounces of yellow cherry tomatoes, halved, 250 grams. 8 ounces of red cherry tomatoes, halved, 250 grams. 1.5 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, 22 mLs. 1 tablespoon of maple syrup, 15 mLs. Salt and freshly ground pepper. 1. Heat butter and oil in a large nonstick skillet over medium-high heat. Add tomatoes and sauté for 2 to 3 minutes or until heated through and beginning to soften. 2. Add vinegar and maple syrup to the tomatoes, tossing to coat about 1 minute. Season with salt and pepper. Tip, for a different twist, substitute balsamic vinegar for the apple cider. Use all red tomatoes if yellow are unavailable. A Beau James Story by Dick Gallagher. Chapter 12, Bo killed the lights as he saw the green duster up ahead and pulled to the side of the road behind it. A few moments later, Cliff pulled up in his metallic brown Grand Fury, and Bo stepped out from in front of the duster and pointed to its open trunk while Cliff was getting out of his car. It was full of bats, gloves, and all manner of baseball and softball gear. Turning, they saw a few neon accessories lying in a line that led slightly uphill toward a distant 1971 Chrysler Newport, which had its trunk open also. Next to the Chrysler was a wrecked A100 panel van with a shadowy figure moving between the two vehicles. Cliff and Bo hurried toward the two junked vehicles. Cliff had tried to get Bo to stay behind, but the most Bo would agree to was to let Cliff lead the way. "Miss Stiles, is that you? This is Cliff Delaney with the police." No one responded to Cliff, but the shadowy figure slipped out of sight. Cliff stepped cautiously toward where he'd last seen the shadow moving in the dim moonlight. A yellow neon sphere burst out of the darkness and beamed Cliff between the eyes. He went down like a rock. Bo, several steps behind, was too far away to catch Cliff. He ducked into a crouch, not wanting to get a fastball to the head as Cliff had. "Donna, we've got your car boxed in. You're stuck," he called. No answer. "What'd you do with my Leatherman?" he tried next. Nothing. "You know my mother gave me that," he called louder and with a little fire in his voice. The sound of crickets. "How come you stole all the baseball stuff when you played softball?" he ventured next. Finally, an answer. "It's the same thing," Donna screeched maniacally from the darkness. "Actually," Bo said, attempting to restore some calm, "it's different." "No, it's not." A flurry of three softballs, or maybe some were baseballs, banged off the fender of the Newport behind Bo. He ducked around the trunk and crouched behind the rear fender on the driver's side of the car. "Hey," he thought to himself, seeing a telltale dent to the rear driver's side door, "I recognize this car. That goofy drama student drove it in high school." A clatter of dropped softball bats, followed by some cursing, brought Bo back to the situation at hand. He peeked over the trunk and saw Cliff groggily raising himself from the ground. Another softball hit him in the side of the neck, and he went back down. "Damn, she's good," Bo thought. He ducked again as another fastball narrowly missed his head. Then he heard running footsteps, followed by the sound of a car door, and then the sound of a car engine turning over, but not catching. "She won't get far," Bo thought smugly, "even without my tools. I can disable a distributor." He stood and walked over to Cliff and eased him upward. The sound of the engine turning unsuccessfully told him there was no hurry. So he walked Cliff slowly down toward the three Plymouths. "Don't worry, Cliff, we got her," he said. Cliff started to answer when suddenly he was interrupted by the sound of an engine roaring to life. Bo looked at Cliff, looking at him. Then they were running toward the cars as they saw the Grand Fury quickly execute a three-point turn and accelerate toward town. When they reached the satellite, Bo leapt, sliding across the hood to the driver's side while Cliff yanked open the front passenger door. Cliff was still reaching to pull the door shut as Bo backed away from the duster. Then Bo wrenched the steering wheel hard left and hit the gas, doing a 180 and heading after the Fury. Cliff reflexively reached for a dashboard radio and then stopped. Bo knew what Cliff had been doing and said simply, "Glove box," as he gritted his teeth and tried to focus through the gravel dust on the disappearing police car. Cliff popped open the glove box and a GE 40-watt emergency CB radio tumbled out. Slapped the antenna on the roof. "The box plugs into the cigarette lighter," Bo said, wrestling the powerful 426 in the slippery gravel. Cliff rolled the window down quickly and got the antenna onto the roof. He plugged in the box, picked up the handset, which looked like an oversized walkie-talkie, and flipped the channel to number nine, the channel he knew Glenn monitored back at the station. "Glenn, it's Cliff. Come in." Cliff looked over at Bo. "Where the heck did you get this thing?" he asked. "My buddy Joe was throwing it out, and I said I'll take it. You never know when you might need one of those things out on the road." Bo never threw anything out himself. He got that from his dad. "This is Glenn," the radio squawked at him. "Cliff, why aren't you using your police band radio?" "Long story. My car was stolen. I'm in pursuit in Beau James' personal vehicle. The thief is heading, Cliff glanced at Beau. Beau pointed left as he made the turn onto Barber, fishtailing slightly before heading north. North on Barber, Cliff finished. Get Andy and Scott rolling toward Lake Irving. Tell them to take Lassiter and Bruce north. Lassiter and Bruce Avenues ran north and south, parallel to Barber. Bruce was in the center of town, and Lassiter was the last street on the east side. And call the sheriff's office and let them know we could use assistance. Lake Irving was wide enough that almost all the north-south streets ended on its southern edge, which was bounded by Irving Road. Donna had chosen her escape route poorly, Cliff thought. Beau said nothing as he shifted into third. EIU's board celebrates the Gail and Richard Lumpkin School of Nursing. The Lumpkin family has left yet another indelible mark on the East Central Illinois community. During the regular meeting of the Eastern Illinois University Board of Trustees, June 26, it was revealed that EIU's new School of Nursing would be named the Gail and Richard Lumpkin School of Nursing. The name is intended to revere the late Richard Dick Lumpkin and his wife Gail, as well as to honor the Lumpkin family's enduring legacy of philanthropy and significant community involvement in their mission to support organizations who are working towards healthy, sustainable communities. EIU, which is already accredited by the American Association of Colleges of Nursing's AACN Commission for Collegiate Nursing Education, CCNE, currently offers a flexible online registered RN nurse to Bachelor of Science in Nursing, BSN, program for working nurses. A decision by EIU's board last September to seek approval on a 4-year Bachelor of Science program in nursing is pending final approval. The children of Gail and Richard Lumpkin, Bess Celio and Ben Lumpkin, are excited to have their parents' name associated with a school that will train and graduate future generations of highly qualified nurses to serve the region's hospitals, medical clinics, nursing and assisted living communities, physicians' offices, and at-home medical care programs. A shared statement from the siblings said, "Our father and the Lumpkin Family Foundation have long been committed to supporting organizations that share our values of building healthy, sustainable, and vibrant communities. Our father supported the work of the Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center all his life, and he was thrilled to have this opportunity to support plans for the growth and expansion of Eastern Illinois University's School of Nursing. He believed, as we all do, that these two institutions are in a unique position to enhance the health and well-being of East Central Illinois residents for a long time to come." For more general information about EIU or to learn more about its growing assortment of programs and services, visit the university's website at www.eiu.edu or call EIU's Public Information Office at 217-581-7400. Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman with the Tri-County Journal, July 8th, 2020. Please stay safe. I look forward to reading with you again soon.